Welcome to False Flag Weekly News, the weekly news show that goes for pretty much all 52 weeks of the year, except for one or two where you guys don't cough up the requisite 200 measly dollars, and brings you the behind the scenes look at what's really going on in the world with all kinds of great guests, including Dr. E. Michael Jones. Hey, welcome, Mike. How's it going?
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be here.
Great to have you. We're looking forward to seeing you on Candace Owens. Man, she's just getting better and better with the Phil Turney Liberty thing. It's I think you're going to change the world when you show up on her show.
Well, I hope so. It needs some changing. I
It
think we
can
all
use
agree
some.
on that.
It definitely can do some. All right, so here we go. Let's get into our slide share for this week. Here we go. Slide share. There it is. Slide of the week, the genocide slide. I know it's kind of a depressing image for the Happy New Year, but hey, what could you do? How about breaking news? The Morrison Hotel is burned down. This is a sign that the 60s are finally over. This was the famous hotel in Los Angeles where the Doors did their famous album cover. This was in, I think, today's New York Times or something like that. So there's the story, and we have a little music video to go with that. I think where's the music video? Come on, music video. I think if I click on the music
I
video.
see your hair is burning. Hills are filled with fire. If they say I never loved you,
Oh, he's doing lightning.
you know they are a liar.
Something like that happens, you can just kind of
Driving down
expect
your
it's going to be
freeway.
lightning. But I don't know. I don't know what Jim Morrison would say about that. But he's gone, and the Morrison Hotel is gone, and America's gone.
I
And so,
see your
hey,
hair.
come on, let's get past that one.
I see.
There we go. Here's the next one. More breaking news. ChatGPT has announced that it's planning to remove its first 1 billion humans from the biosphere. It announced the project and the message that simultaneously appeared on every app widget, big screen TV, social media platform, cyber enhanced kitchen appliance, and smart toilet. The Culbut refused to offer specific details about its patented culling technologies, describing them vaguely as iterations of ancient human eradication methods, including pestilence, war, famine, and death, with the new fifth horseman of mass vaccination rounding out the list. Bill Gates, reached by brain implant at his robo mansion in Seattle, grumbled that the technology was making humans obsolete and that ChatGPT had put him out of a job. So that's our that's our breaking news for the week. Okay, public service announcements. If you want to keep this stuff going, just go to truthjihad.com, click on False Flag Weekly News link, go to the show link. Story number one is how you can help us. Stripe deplatformed me, and so you can go around Stripe through PayPal until they deplatform me too. And you could just take your little phone out if you have one of those magic devices and wave it over this barcode. And or you could just PayPal to truthjihad@gmail.com. And hey, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's. There's our Christmas decorations here in North Africa and the Middle East. And here's our Happy New Year message. Let's make it a happier year than the last crappy year. Sinusoida and cool what's it cool am wa antum bikhair. And then the big question is it another year of genocide? Jonathan Cook is appalled as all of these human rights groups, massively pro-Zionist, totally Western controlled human rights groups, even they have to admit that this is just total obscene genocide. Mike, is this ever going to end?
Why are we starting on a note like this? This is that we've been doing this for over a year now. This is getting really, it's really upsetting because we're calling basically the fundamental values of humanity into question here. This is what the Israeli genocide is doing. Is there a fundamental basis that we share under God? Which means that he is the creator and he created laws by which we are to operate, which most people know as the Ten Commandments. Does that apply to the entire human race, or does it, is there a Jewish exception? Can the Jews do anything they want? Can they kill you if they don't like what you say? In countries like the United States, it turns into other types of warfare, like deplatforming, which you have just experienced. But the principle remains that if the Jew doesn't like what you were saying, he can do anything to destroy your life, including the physical murder of you or anyone else. That's the fundamental. So we enter 2000, the new year, with that question unresolved. It's still unresolved. Which way are we going to go? Which way is humanity going to go?
Yeah, I'd say it's unresolved. But, you know, the further they push it, I mean, the less likely it should be able to continue this way, you would think. Here's Caitlin Johnstone adding her two cents worth on this topic, you know, pointing out why maybe it was debatable that they were out to just slaughter people and replace them in Gaza for the first couple of days or a couple of weeks back in October 2023. But at this point, it's not debatable anymore. And the Christians in Palestine, especially in Gaza, didn't have the world's best Christmas this year. And Mike, how do you think American Christians feel about this?
They are completely indifferent. They're stunned into silence. Look, I'll cut straight to the chase here. At the moment of which I just described, where the world is descending into darkness, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, along in conjunction with the American Jewish Committee, issued a glossary of terms that Catholics are not allowed to say, because if they say it, they're going to commit a sin. It's stunned. I'm the only guy who's talking about this. I don't know why. I'm not the only Catholic out there, but this is so stunning, so out of context, so out of touch with reality, that I think we just have to talk about it. And one of the things, so there's terms like you can't say that the Israelis are committing genocide. You can't say that they silence you on the internet. You can't use words like control. You can't use words like cosmopolitan.
Really?
Now, Kevin, I know when you go to the cocktail hour, you may order a cosmopolitan, but since you're not a Catholic, you can do this.
No, that's actually haram for me too. I guess everything's okay. Haram for me.
Okay. So, but anyway, this is so out of touch with reality that all we can do is hope that it will be the reductio ad absurdum, and that therefore it will end a well-deserved death. So at the same time that this is coming up here, Benjamin Netanyahu wishes Christians a Merry Christmas. Well, thank you. Thank you. But stop killing people. It would be merrier if you stop killing people.
That's for sure. And here's the Press TV article about that, the Christians in Gaza. And yeah, it's kind of odd, really, that, I mean, that there are more Christians on earth than any other faith. And right there in the home of Jesus, this is happening and it's the avowed enemies of Christians and Christianity who are doing it. So whatever, Christians, I guess, talk about turning the other cheek. I think there's a point where you have to chase these people out of the temple, not just keep turning the other cheek. But hey, I'm a Muslim, so I would think that. This piece from the Tehran Times covered these really horrible stories out of Gaza, some of them collected in Haaretz, Israel's liberal newspaper. You can't even really want to describe these things. It's just so horrible that it's just, you know, shooting kids in the gut just out for no particular reason, picking up four-year-olds and just smashing their bones and stomping on their stomachs to kill them, saying that, hey, if the commander does it, that's it's okay, and on and on and on. I mean, I am really right. Getting tired of this.
I am too. On the other hand, in spite of what the Catholic bishops, first of all, the Catholic bishops did not approve this. This is a bureaucratic collaboration between the bureaucrats and the USCCB and the AJC. Okay, so one bishop put his name to it, and I called him out, and I will continue to call him out. The man's a disgrace. He has no right to impose these taboos, these Jewish taboos, on the Catholic conscience. Okay. On the other hand, at the Vatican, they had the Christmas creche, and there was baby Jesus lying on a keffiyeh, expressing some sort of solidarity with the Palestinians, until the Jews complained, and then they took the keffiyeh off.
Oh, really? They took it off, because we covered that last week, but I didn't hear they'd taken it off.
Pulled, they pulled the rug out from baby Jesus. It was they pulled the keffiyeh out from under baby Jesus. I think that's what happened. So it was like one step forward and two steps back.
Yeah, it's just amazing. You know, whenever they complain, it seems like everybody but you and me and maybe two or three other people out there just kowtow to them, you know, and rush off to the Holocaust Museum or to Yad Vashem or the Wailing Wall, put on a beanie and kiss kosher tush. I mean, it seems like almost everybody just knuckles under. It's really crazy. I mean, they're not going to forgive you for, you know, you might as well just stand strong because they're never going to forgive
you
anyway.
Right. So, yesterday I had did my podcast with the doctor Rehana Ali from England. She was banned from the public health service in England because some Jew didn't like what she said about Palestine. Now, this is significant because I've been saying that there is a potential for a Catholic-Jewish alliance or some type of alliance with the Muslims. I didn't say Jew. I meant Muslim. Alliance in England because there are lots of England. This lady ran for office in Bradford lost but gained a significant amount of votes, even though it was short notice. So we had a long discussion about Jewish privilege. And are articulating, it's basically the same in England as it is in the United States, if probably worse in England, but if one Jew objects to what you said about genocide in Gaza, then you lose your medical license. How is this in the interest of the English people? Now, this is a lady who was born in Pakistan, okay, came over at the age of 11 months, and then became English. Got a degree from Cambridge. You can't get higher than getting a degree in Cambridge and part of being part of the English establishment. And yet, so we're trying to frame this issue here and trying to mobilize some type of, what should I say, alliance in England against these people. Is that going to work? This is what I'm saying. This is Logos rising here. The consciousness is rising. I think that these groups are trained to be suspicious of each other. They have people like Tommy Robinson, whose job is to foment hatred of Muslims. He's got a Jewish handler by the name of Ezra Levant. So every time he gets in trouble, Levant bails him out of jail. Are they aware of this? Is there a general consciousness of this? Can we expand this consciousness to basically stand up and say, look, this lady got a degree from Cambridge. That's about as establishment English as you can. No one has complained about the fact that she's a competent doctor. Are you going to get rid of competent doctors because some Jew didn't like what she tweeted on X about Gaza? This is the issue. We got to press the issue.
Do you have to approve of the Zionists blowing up all the hospitals in Gaza to keep your medical license? I mean, it's kind of bizarre, isn't it?
The answer is yes.
Oh, man. Well, I don't think it can go on for another year. We'll be back next year, inshallah, to talk about that. Here's my my two cents on the way that this kosher self-defense is coming to America. I mean, so far in America, maybe they're just throwing hot coffees in your face if you wear a Palestine sweatshirt. But the stuff that they were describing in that horrific horror story article in Gaza might be next. So anyway, this was my contribution to the literature of Zionist atrocities in America. And of course, you know, she's casting herself as the victim, I suppose. And the more Gaza atrocity, I hate to belabor the obvious every week here, but it's just, you know, the mainstream is not telling people this, so somebody has to. They just deliberately killed journalists. Again, they just blew up a car full of journalists, and they said it was because they didn't like their reporting. I mean, they admitted it. They said, oh, these are like, you know, war propagandists, meaning that they're covering the war in a way that Israel doesn't like. So we have the right to blow them up.
This is what I said. If a Jew doesn't like what you say, he has a right to kill you. This needs to be at least discussed. Can we at least discuss this issue? Because there's numerous factual statements that can can back up this claim. This is not an exaggeration. If the Jew doesn't like what you say, if the Jew doesn't like the fact that you're wearing a Palestinian T-shirt or a keffiyeh, that Jew has a right to throw hot coffee in your face and claim to be the victim. This has got to be discussed here. We can't go on in another year without some type of resolution of this issue. And the big question hanging in the air is what's going to happen when Trump takes office. I mean, all of the evidence looks bad. And the lunatics that he is trying to bring into his administration. We had one whole program on this lunatic Hegseth, who wants to rebuild the temple and usher in the Antichrist. They're all that way. It seems to me they're all that way, and it doesn't look good.
And somehow Hegseth's nomination didn't get derailed. Matt got derailed, but not Pete. Why would that be?
Because Gates doesn't take IPAC money, and Hegseth does or will. He's clearly on board with them. So it's, once again, it's Jewish control of our political process. Now, there was a sex scandal. Mr. Hegseth apparently picked up some chick at a Republican Party meeting and had sex with her, and then she complained afterwards. And the question is, are sex scandals only for people who don't take IPAC money?
Pretty much.
Or something like that. It's only bad if you take if you don't take IPAC money. So that was the last I heard about Hegseth, that he was going to be grilled on his sexual escapades.
In fact, he's going to blow up the world. Doesn't matter. It's his sexual escapades that we have to worry about.
Yeah, I think sexual escapades are very significant because it's one of the main ways that they take control of people. There are two options here. One is called bribery, which is IPAC, and the other is called blackmail, which is basically Jeffrey Epstein and numerous other operations that basically try to get you into sexually compromised situations. These are the two forms of Jewish control in America right now, and so they're significant. You need to take account of them when you're trying to figure out what's going on.
Indeed. But with Hegseth, we discussed how his approach to foreign policy is completely insane. And speaking of guys who are completely insane, how about Netanyahu having to skip his visit to Auschwitz due to arrest warrants for genocide? They should have just let him go. And then when he went in to tour the gas chambers, they should have shut the door and thrown some hydrogen cyanide capsules in there with him.
Just kidding. I know you're just kidding.
Yeah,
there,
of course. I'm just kidding, Mr. AI.
You have to be like Nick Fuentes and have to say just kidding when you say stuff like that.
I guess so.
No,
yeah.
this is significant because Netanyahu blinked. He didn't go. He knows it's real. I mean, if it were a joke, he would have showed up and called their bluff. No, he knows it's real. And Poland, of all places, where is Poland now? I mean, Poland has more experience dealing with Jews than any country on the face of the earth. And they have all this ancestral understanding of the way they act. But they have been tricked into basically a Jewish operation because of their hatred of Russians. Russophobia is the main problem in Poland right now. But here we have, it's not as if there's a unified sense of what's going on there. You have Gregor Braun. Who took a fire extinguisher? He's known as the fireman now. He extinguished a menorah with a fire extinguisher in the Polish parliament. So, which way is it going to go? We got both options here. Are you going to die, my Polish friends? Are you going to die for the gay disco? Are you going to apprehend Netanyahu if he comes on Polish soil?
The people who've gone to your talks in Poland probably have figured this out pretty well. It's the other ones I would worry about.
Well, I was there and did a book tour for Libido Dominandi, and the Catholic Church backed me up. And when the Catholic Church backs up an idea like this or like this book, it's powerful. And so we killed gay marriage, which was a Jewish operation. I know it sounds anti-Semitic to say that, but the lady said, Amy Dean said it in Tikkun magazine, and she bragged about it. The point here is you have to use the word Jew, because if you just use Zionist, that's only one branch, and you're leaving out all the cultural Bolshevism that is involved with the gay marriage, abortion, pornography, and all the other type of stuff. They have full spectrum dominance, and so that's why you have to use the word Jew rather than Zionist or neocon or all the other euphemisms.
Yeah, of course, Zionist does cover the Christians who rabidly support genocide, too. So sometimes the word Zionist is appropriate. Well, here's the art gallery, the new art gallery, a Palestinian art gallery, which used to be Israel's embassy in Dublin, which got shut down. So that's actually a good sign. I mean, Ireland has kind of been going downhill for a while, but maybe not so much on this issue.
No, the Irish were blindsided. They were an island, okay? In the 1980s, they had a battle over the Constitution. The right to life is in the Constitution of the Irish Republic. And somehow they were hornswoggled into approving abortion, and that's the beginning of the end. Believe me, it's the beginning of the end. And that is followed by gay marriage. They did that too, and suddenly they woke up one day and say, "Hey, we're controlled by Jews. How did that happen? I didn't vote for that." And then they're flooded with immigrants. That's also a Jewish operation, and so on and so forth. And so now they're starting to wake up. I think that the key issue again was Gaza. They have a history of being oppressed because they're Catholic by the Judaizers who were known as Puritans. Cromwell. Ask the Irish about what Cromwell did in Drogheda. This is genocide in the 17th century mode. Okay, they're familiar with that, and they have a history of that, of understanding being on the receiving end of genocide. And so, therefore, they're going to be more sensitive to what's going on to the Palestinians. So, God bless them. God bless them. I don't know whether you were you in Tehran when Claire Daly and Mick Wallace were there.
I think so. I believe I
So
was.
I traveled around with them. I tried to have a discussion, like a full spectrum discussion. Like, okay, it's okay. It's not okay. I'm against killing babies with F-16s, but I'm also against killing babies by abortion. And there are two Jewish projects that both need to be opposed here. Didn't get very far, but that was before Gaza. Maybe things are changing. Maybe Claire and Mick are changing now.
Yeah, there are definitely some folks over in Ireland who are making that connection like you do. So, speaking of people making that connection, of course, if you oppose the Jewish genocide of Gaza and things like Jewish disproportionate representation in abortion and gay marriage and all those things, that makes you a full-fledged anti-Semite eligible for the Anti-Semite of the Year Award. And here's some guy named E. Michael Jones, who probably deserves the award, a little bit jealous of Candace Owens just waltzing into this field like last year and suddenly winning the award.
I demanded a recount. Okay,
Yeah.
not it's much worse than it looks on the, just by focusing on Candace Owens. I didn't even make the top 10.
That's pretty sad.
And they're play. I mean, I don't know everybody, but it was. I'm telling you, it was kind of lonely 15 years ago when the Jewish revolutionary spirit came out, and now there are lots of people, and I can't even get into the top 10. But look, let's be honest here. I'm the guy who wrote the book. I got a just as this was breaking news, I got an email from a Jew in Miami who read the Jewish Revolutionary Spirit and went out and got baptized. Now, this is something that the Jews don't want to talk about, okay? They're scared to death about this happening, that you can actually talk rationally to someone and persuade him that there is a problem here. And there's been a problem here for 2,000 years, and I wrote a book about it, and it's called The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit. And that's why I'm not getting out of dynamic silence. It's dynamic silence here, totally, because they know how effective this book is. It's that simple.
Well, but someday they'll offer you that award. But meanwhile, I think Candace really deserves some recognition for this great interview that she did with Phil Turney. I've had Phil Turney on my show a few times, most recently in I think 2017 or something, and she did a fantastic job with him. And that's gone. It's heading for 6 million views. You think if it actually makes 6 million, that that'll change the world?
6 million. Anyway, yeah. So this is what Candace has. She's got this huge audience. This is the difference between her platform and Culture Wars magazine. We did an article on Liberty 20 years ago, and obviously didn't get the response that this did. So God bless Candace for having the courage to bring up these stories that are supposed to be suppressed and not supposed to have happened.
So we can't be too jealous of her. I mean, she really deserves that recognition, I guess. Even though it's like I'm actually getting way fewer fatwas. I'm just getting deplatformed now. Instead of giving me honors, they take my money. Anyway, so there's Candace and Phil with David Deese classic USS Liberty poster. And at some point, that USS Liberty story may start to make some serious inroads on the consciousness of Americans in general, and especially patriotic ones in particular. And who knows where we'll be once that happens. Meanwhile, over in Russia, for some reason, anti-Semitism keeps spreading. Vladimir Putin probably is in line for one of these anti-Semite of the Year awards if he didn't already win one. And he got in hot water with the usual suspects this past week over his remarks about the ethnic Jews being responsible for attacks on Orthodox churches in Russia. Now, wait a minute, Mike. I mean, people from Jewish backgrounds would not be overrepresented in attacks on Christianity, would they?
Yes. It started 2,000 years ago and it never stopped. So the only things that differ are the methods that they're using. So this is significant. He finally said the word Jew. I mean, this is what you were in Mashhad when I stood up and I said we have to break the Jew taboo. Phil Giraldi did it, got fired immediately. And now you can't fire Putin. And he's been trying to deal with this issue. He knows what the issue is. He knows who took over the country in the so-called Russian Revolution. It was a Jewish coup d'etat. He knows that. And so he's been holding back. It's like it's the same strategy that he's been using in the Ukraine militarily. You kind of hold back, and then you hold back, and then finally you come out and you say, this is what the issue is. I think he confused the issue by saying ethnic Jews. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Well, I think it's distinguishing them from religious Jews. He's suggesting that the post-religious Jews are somehow different and worse, which may be true, but certainly isn't the whole story.
Yeah. Okay. If I were there, if I had the interview, I said, look, there's a difference here between all Jews and the Jews. Okay. We're not condemning all Jews. There are people who are courageous and standing up to the Jews themselves. Okay. But the Jews as an entity do have control over our political process and over our foreign policy. And they have to be addressed as such, as an entity. And if you want to
talk about tribal Jews, like that entity, you talk about the entity. Yeah, I say it's tribalism. And I mean, all human groups have that tendency towards tribalism. But with Jews, it's really gotten to a new level of creating problems for other people, especially considering the small population of members of the Jewish tribe. There are lots of Jews who are not particularly tribal, like most Jews I've actually known in my life. But the tribal ones are the ones who are creating the problems.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, why is their tribe more powerful than any other tribe? Tribe does not describe the unique characteristic that they have.
Yeah, there's that ideological
and,
side.
And on the other hand, if the Jew, as we know from the case of Oswald Rufeisen, tribalism is based on DNA. If your mother's Jewish, then you're Jewish. You have the right to return to Israel, blah, blah, blah. I'll give you a free house, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wait a minute. You got baptized. That changed your DNA. No, this is completely contradictory. Okay? It is not tribal. It is religious.
Yeah,
it is a rejection of the order of the universe. And until we start defining this thing accurately, we're not going to make headway because
it's always a
shell game.
But the tribal identity is ideological too. It's not just DNA. Tribal identity is what you believe. Like here, we have the Beni Snassen tribe. We have the Beni Dorar tribe here in Eastern Morocco. These are people who believe that their ancestry is traced to a particular somebody from centuries ago, but it's an ideological construct and may or may not have any actual basis in DNA. The same is true with Jews. They have this myth that they all descend from Isaac. Well, guess what? They don't, but it's part of their ideology. But yeah, the problem is the ideology.
No, I've got nothing against tribes, but I'm saying that there's something transcendent here that goes beyond the DNA. They use DNA. There's no question that they say they have some type of DNA connection with Moses. No, you don't. This is a creation of your mind to legitimize the theft of Palestinian territory and the ongoing terrorism. That's a category of your mind. It's a fiction you've created to give yourself legitimacy. But they do use the DNA thing until it's not useful anymore, and then they discard it.
Absolutely right. And you know, Mike, you can probably take some credit for what Putin's been saying lately, because when we were in, it was in Meshed, wasn't it, where Alexander Dugin showed up? And
yeah, he was there.
Yeah, they called him Yeah, they call him Putin's brain. So if Dugin is Putin's brain, we both got a chance to talk with Dugin. He got to watch your talk. He got to hear what you had to say. I had a great one-on-one conversation with him. And so he went back to Moscow and crawled into Putin's skull. And that's why Putin is so anti-Semitic. So it's all your fault, Mike. You deserve that award.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. We all agree that E. Michael Jones really deserves that award. Well, moving on to the perverts from hell category. This is another of these horrible stories. This gay couple, like, what's this business of, like, two young males being allowed to adopt children? Like, throughout most of human history, a lot of cultural groups would have been very cautious about allowing such things, but not in America anymore. So they get the predictable results. And I'm sure this is not the only time something like this has happened.
No, but let's say even if it is an exception, the idea itself is totally repugnant. It's human trafficking. We have the situation of the former mayor of South Bend, Pete Buttigieg, going on to become transportation secretary, and then quote adopting two children. Well, I don't think you would die. You bought them. It's an accessory. I don't know what you're thinking. Do you think people are going to like you more because you're masquerading as a family? You're not a family. There's no way in the world you're a family. And secondly, when you express concern for your child, one of them got sick and, oh, I have to take leave. I'm worried about. Look, if you were really concerned about this child, you wouldn't have deprived him of having a mother, which is what you did when you bought these kids. So this is totally repugnant, whether they have sex with them, the children, or film it or whatever. It's totally repugnant and it should be stopped.
Yeah, I mean, I have some experience having lived in San Francisco for quite a few years, and for 1 year, just a couple of blocks away from the Castro and Market intersection, that's the heart of the homosexual community in San Francisco. And I remember seeing NAMBLA, North American Man Boy Love Association, news boxes on every corner, and the kind of, out of control anarchic attitude towards sexuality was totally prevalent in that community. Not universal, but widely accepted. And that's not a community where you would want them to have, like, male couples adopting children. It's just insane. But whatever. I'm glad I'm in Morocco, where such things are not done. Over in Germany, it's even worse, though. They're going to, like, legalize, normalize it, and minor attracted persons, or MAPs, are the new victims whose rights need to be defended. Stay away from Germany.
I plan to, but again, it's the classic instance of a country that has been completely destroyed by Jewish social engineering. They lost World War II, which allowed the Jews to come in. Every single newspaper that got founded after the war had the editor, had it, or publisher had to go to a Jew by the name of David Mordecai Levy and lie on the couch. He's a psychiatrist from New York City and tell him how guilty he felt. And then they get the license, and then they have to. What they did was basically allow the sexual subversion of the German people. By allowing pornography in and then taking the guilt that naturally flows from that type of behavior and waving the magic wand over it and turning it into guilt about the Holocaust. That ended up with the total control of the German people right now, to the point where they cannot even defend themselves against aggression like blowing up the pipeline. They are dying now because they have to have cheap energy. They can't. This is what happens. This is what happens. Sexual liberation is always the thin end of the wedge, and what ends up at the thick end is Jewish control.
Yeah, that link between sexual liberation, the guilt, and the Holocaust religion is something that I hadn't thought about so much. But I think that's another topic where you're probably out ahead of me, Mike. Well, speaking of the perverts from hell, how about in Guatemala, where there's more child abuse going on, apparently with some extreme Jewish sect? And we see that there seems to be a lot of this in extreme Jewish sects. I think there was that Christopher Ketchum article about the bathhouses of New York, which made it look like there's probably a lot more pedophilia going on in one New York bathhouse than in the whole Catholic Church for a decade. But we never hear about it, except in that one Christopher Ketchum article. And this is happening in Guatemala and other places as well.
Yes. And because as soon as you say it's a Jewish sect, then you have to back off and you have to say, well, they are allowed to do this. So this is now happening in the Indiana court system, the Jews have filed a case saying we deserve a religious exemption from Indiana's strict abortion law. Oh, so you're saying abortion is a fundamental Jewish value? And do we have to honor that because you believe that? Do we? And the answer is yes, because the Jews have the once you put up is as if some type of religious thing here, you and it's a Jewish religious thing, then you're just told to back off. It's none of your business. And the fact that you're raising the issue proves that you're an anti-Semite.
Well, if they want to abort their own children, I guess maybe I don't know if that's any better than killing Palestinian children or other people's children. But speaking of perverts from hell, how about Alan Dershowitz, Trump's coming anti-Semitism envoy? Yeah, I think he's going to definitely be an envoy for anti-Semitism.
He will do more to create anti-Semitism than even Rabbi Shmuley if he gets this office. Dershowitz is. We did. My friend Sean Naughton did a video. Hurt the Jew, we sue you. It came out of his mouth. That's his mantra. He's right up there with Roberta Kaplan as a chief advocate of a total perversion of the legal system. In other words, we're not going to talk about justice anymore. We're going to use the legal system, we use what they call lawfare as a weapon of revenge against anybody we don't like. This is the equivalent of the Israelis coming in and shooting children if they don't like what you say. This is what we're on the verge here. Everyone's holding their breath, hoping that the guy doesn't get a job like this. What good can come from this?
Well, wait a minute. He could maybe launch a lawsuit on behalf of that poor Jewish woman from Illinois whose coffee cup was assaulted by the faces of people in Palestine sweatshirts.
Yeah. Why was your face in front of my coffee? You must have done something wrong. It's proof.
Now that's
you're
a case for Dershowitz. Perfect case for Dershowitz. Well, send him in there. Yep. Okay. So there's the lawfare case from hell. How about the cover-ups? Let's look at some cover-ups. First cover-up: the Russian Defense Ministry is trying to blow the whistle on the U.S. biowar complex cover-up, and they put out this message about U.S. biowar on the African continent. This was top of the news in neighboring Algeria. I'm here in Morocco on the border with Algeria, and so I follow the media in both countries. And the Algerian media really played this up. It basically, the U.S. is waging biological warfare on Africa, and of course they didn't really go into the details of the likely U.S. bio attack on China and Iran that launched the COVID scamdemic. But if you want to find out about that, you can watch my intro video here with Ron Unz, who wrote a book about it. That video is now up to 1.25 million views. So Mike, U.S. biowar complex in Ukraine and Africa thing is something the Russians don't seem to like very much.
I don't know. What's their problem? They're obviously anti-Semites. What can you say?
There you go.
What else can I say?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we could argue about this because this is like one issue where the Jewish aspect of it strikes me as being like less relevant than in some of these other areas.
Now wait. What about Professor Liebman at Harvard University, who was collaborating with the Chinese and sending them all sorts of sophisticated weapons to allow them to splice genes? He was arrested, believe it or not, in spite of the fact that he's a Jewish professor of Harvard. He got arrested, and it was a big deal. There were Chinese guys smuggling out biowarfare stuff in their socks, and that was implicated in the Harvard thing, and nothing happened.
But wait a minute, Michael, because so you've just implicated one Jew and a whole bunch of Chinese people, but frankly think that all those people are innocent. In fact, I think the Chinese were at the receiving end of a U.S. biological attack in which U.S. soldiers at the military games in October of 2019 spread COVID-19 at the seafood market, and that the U.S. had built that biolab earlier in Wuhan precisely in preparation for this attack so they could blame the victims. So frankly, I think this was a U.S. imperial operation and the Jews jumped in on it, and they have enough power in the U.S. to make sure that we attacked Iran as well as China, which is why many top Iranian leaders instantly died of COVID in Qom. But I don't, that professor at Harvard that you're talking about, was he was a victim of this. He probably knew too much about it, and they arrested him to keep his mouth shut.
Well, I don't. Can we look into it further? All I know is that he was supplying them with. There was a crucial link between Harvard and the bio labs in China. So whether it, I don't look. At this point, I have to have more information before I can draw any type of serious conclusion here.
Okay, that's a reasonable position to take. And I highly recommend checking out more information on that biotech. And this is a great intro to it. It's my like 20-minute intro video with Ron Uns, and it's linked to his book, which you can read online. All right, how about the cover-up of Biden's senility? Biden was senile for the last year or two of his presidency, and now they finally admitted it. Well, I'm glad they finally told us.
Did you see the video of where every single mainstream media outlet is calling, saying Sharper's attack?
Isn't that great?
That clearly went down from some place higher up. Okay, you guys, today we're all going to say Sharper's attack. It was funny just to watch him repeat that
It
over and
was
over and over
attack
again.
attack. The mass Sharper's attack. Well, at least we got the truth about this a lot faster than about like JFK. We're still waiting for Trump to keep his promise to declassify those records, and much less 9/11 and so many other things. We're waiting, the Holocaust, all these things that we're waiting to hear the truth about. But this, we only had to wait, what, like a year or so. So that's pretty good, I guess. How about the war on Russia? Finland is accusing Russia of cutting communications cables. And this is in response, apparently, if it is Russia doing it, to, whoops, that's the wrong direction, to reports that Russian cargo ships have been sinking left, right, and center. The latest here was the Ursa Major, which sank after an explosion ripped through its engine room, and two of its crew are still missing. This was controlled by a Russian Defense Ministry sort of shell company. And this has been linked to other recent accidents and sinkings involving Russian cargo ships in the Black Sea and Mediterranean, raising the possibility that we are witnessing some kind of concerted campaign against Russia's so-called shadow fleet. Well, now they're blaming that same shadow fleet for cutting communications cables. Well, I wouldn't blame them. How about you, Mike?
Well, why wouldn't this be a false flag too? I
Yeah,
mean,
that's possible.
you want to antagonize the situation, weaponize the situation, exacerbate the situation between Finland and Russia. So you send your guys in and cut the cable, and then you blame it on the Russians, and that if facilitates polarization. Isn't that what they did with the pipeline?
Wait a
Isn't
minute,
that
Mike. I'm the guy who's supposed to be talking about false flags all the time.
Well, do I need to ask your permission? Can I have your permission to talk about here? I
Look,
think
if you get
this
the
is
next Dan I Semite of the Year award, I get the next false flag award.
okay. All right. We'll divide it up that way. But I mean,
Okay.
you have to question who benefits from this, type of antagonism. I think it was similar to the attack on the Christmas market in Magdeburg. Who benefits from that? First of all, it was a Saudi, I think, who did it.
A fanatical anti-Islamic Saudi.
Yeah, okay. So then, but who benefits? What they're doing is basically trying to, the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland, is the rising party in Germany. So attacks like this are supposed to polarize the German people, make them blame Muslims for everything that's going on in their situation, and drive the new party in that direction. It's happened to every single conservative party in Europe. You can be as conservative as you want, as long as you're anti-Muslim, nativist, and pro-Israel.
Okay, well, it's interesting that the New York Times is prominently featuring this story of Finland suspecting Russia of cutting its cables. But if you want to find out about the Russian cargo ships getting blown up all over the place, you have to go to the alternative media. So that tells you who runs the media. And it's why they do false flags all the time, because they're the ones who run the media, so they can decide how to react to these events.
Apparently, one of those ships went down, and the Finns refused to rescue the people, or the Norwegians refused to rescue the sailors. I saw that report too. This is again an attack on fundamental rule of law. The rule of the sea is you have to go and rescue the people when they're in the ship is going down. And here, apparently, it was the Finns, I think, who refused to do this because they were Russians.
Yeah, I
This
mean,
is
you're supposed to do
barbarous.
that even if you're at war and you're the one who blew up their ship. You're still supposed to save them, aren't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you can't shoot people in the water or things like this. This is, we're rolling back all of the peeling the onion of civilization, one layer at a time, peeling it back.
Yeah, well, as far as shooting people in the water, the USS Liberty incident was a lesson in that, and I guess the those people are giving us lessons in barbarous behavior. So, how about Trump and Ukraine's 26 trillion in gas and minerals? Just as in the last slide, we saw that the New York Times was highlighting a supposed Russian attack and hiding the many attacks on Russia. Well, here we have the Washington Post goading Trump. To come on, Trump, you got to fight Russia. You got to support Ukraine because don't you want to grab those trillions and trillions in gas and minerals, right? I mean, Trump, you said we're in Syria to steal the oil. Well, why can't we be in Ukraine and Russia to steal their minerals?
Yes. Do you remember the bumper sticker from the 70s? Why is our oil under their sand? Do you
Yep.
remember that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I remember that. This
I'm
is
sure Trump remembers it too.
the same type of mentality. Why is that $26 trillion in gas and minerals under our, why is it not? Well, of course it belongs to us. Everything belongs to us. Who's us, by the way?
Well, somebody's probably whispering this in Trump's ear. I mean, I bet this is a concerted campaign. You know, sort of like the sharpest attack thing. Well, here their concerted campaign is to get Trump to rubber stamp continued war on Russia, and one way to do it is to tell him that, hey, we got to grab all those gas and minerals. There's the gas and minerals there in Ukraine, and so far Russia only has a little piece of them. So come on, Trump, stand up to those Russians and steal some of that gas and minerals. Hey, I mean, that's why we're in Syria, that's why we're in Ukraine, that's why we're everywhere. Come on, Trump, go steal more stuff. All right, well, so that's a
I think he's naturally receptive to this bottom line type of thinking, and I think that's part of the gamble here. We're going to say, how many trillions did we spend? Well, if he gets 20 million, 26 trillion in return, it's a good investment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, they figured out his Achilles heel, maybe, to try and get him to go along with the military industrial complex. Here's a slightly more optimistic take on Trump from Alexander Dugin. He says Trump signifies the end of a major epoch, the end of the modern world. I guess that's positive. Actually, for Dugin, it is. He sees that as totally positive. And here he's talking about the Strauss and Howe generational theory, which I find kind of uncannily interesting in that it seems to actually sort of make sense. For the United States, you know, every 80 years, four generations, you get a quote unquote hero generation that sheds vast amounts of blood, tears down the world, and then rebuilds a new one. We had that with the American Revolution circa 1780, the Civil War circa 1860, the World War I shortly before 1920, and then World War II was just part of the same war, I guess. And so now we're a little overdue for the next hero generation to burn down the world and build something new. So anyway, Dugin sees this as the end of modernity, and he's calling for a return to traditional values. I guess we're all sort of more or less on the same wavelength with him here, right, Mike?
I think the American Empire is in its death throes. So, if in that sense, I would agree. It reminded me of Plato in The Republic, where he talks about the beginning is aristocracy and followed by plutocracy, followed by democracy, which is when the people are tired of being swindled, and that leads to tyranny. That's another scenario of the cycles of history. Hegel was a big guy when it came to cycles of history. I'm not sure. I'm there's some there's always something unpredictable about the future. Even though you try and make some sense out of what's going on, but there's always something unpredictable. And I think it is the end of the American Empire. It's certainly not the end of history. Which was supposed to have happened in 1992, I believe. Wasn't that when the end of history was declared?
Well, that was Fukuyama's prediction, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, so
That was.
far, yeah. So far, the American Empire has actually triumphed in each of these fourth turnings: 1780, 1860, 1940—not 1920, but really 1940—and but 2020, not so much. This could be the one where it goes down, which is sort of what Dugin is predicting. But
Yeah. Yeah.
we'll see. It's hard to predict things, especially the future. So, moving on to the American nightmare news. I'm kind of glad I escaped. Because This Christmas season looked kind of crazy looking at the newspaper anyway. Two shot at Phoenix Airport in apparent families people. Two shot or three, I think it was three shot, one stabbed in a family quarrel at the airport on Christmas night. I guess they were fighting about which branch of the family to go fly to visit. I mean, I don't know. It's like, and you know, what can you say about this stuff? How about the pregnant Florida woman stabbed to death by a pizza delivery driver who was upset about the $2 tip after being asked to change a $50 bill? Don't buy pizza from that guy. And then Nick Fuentes, we just barely touched on this last week. Here's you know the would-be assassin showing up to try to kill Nick Fuentes because, well, Nick is known for saying mean things about Jewish people like us. And he tweeted, "Your body, my choice," which I thought was kind of a clever satirical provocation against pro-abortion people. And it got almost 100 million views, but it really pissed some people off. So there's violence breaking out all over America. Maybe you should come to Morocco, Mike.
Yeah, I'd love to come to Morocco,
We'll book you a speaking gig.
I'd be happy to come. I'm ready to pack my bags and come to Morocco. But back here, let's align this with something we already talked about: anti-Semite of the year. What is the purpose of that? The purpose of that. What is the purpose of all these lists, like the ADL's list of anti-Semites or the Southern Poverty Law Center? It's to get you to hate people. And there are certain people. Let's put aside the whole fact that maybe the FBI is involved in a lot of entrapment plots and they give these people guns and tell them to go out and shoot somebody. But maybe it could be just people who are crazy. And the classic example of this was the Southern Poverty Law Center, another Jewish organization, that put out a hate map. I'm on that hate map.
Yeah, your hometown is it? Did they dox you? Did like Nick Fuentes? Did they?
No, they don't have to dox me. Nobody has to dox me. I use my name. They don't have to do that. They don't have to do that. But what happened here is that some guy got the hate map and he saw that the Family Research Center was a hate group. And so he showed up in Washington with a gun and started shooting people. Now, why isn't the Southern Poverty Law Center held responsible for that? Why aren't these people who encourage violence? They encourage hatred. The whole point of hate speech is to get you to hate someone that Jews hate. When is there going to be some type of accountability for this? This is exactly what happened with Nick Fuentes. After he got doxxed, the first lady to show up is a Jewish feminist. Okay, and she harangues him and he maces her through the door. Second guy shows up with a gun. Well, it's the same mentality of doxing. Doxing is illegal in Illinois. He may have a lawsuit there. Elon Musk allowed the doxing on his platform. This is all stuff that needs to be regulated here. We need laws to protect us from Jews. This is Jewish hate speech in action. That's what it is.
Well, people are suggesting that maybe some anti-doxing laws need to be passed because they're and also anti what do they call it when they SWAT you? They get a SWAT team sent to your house, and it does seem that the Antifa crowd, which is heavily Jewish, is overrepresented in this, and that group is in so many things. Well, moving on to Trump and the 4B movement, this is related to this "Your Body, My Choice" tweet that Nick Fuentes sent out, which created this hoopla. Apparently, there's some movement for women to completely avoid men, and that this is going viral. So the men are hating the women, and the angry women are showing up at Nick Fuentes' house, and he has to mace them. I assume you said it was an angry woman that showed up at his house, not a passionate woman. But and I knew he had to mace some woman who was at his door that he didn't want to be there. But anyway, the men and the women hate each other in America now. What's with that?
Well, I mean, that's a long, complicated, multi-generational problem that is exacerbated by technology, specifically the cell phone and specifically pornography. Cell phone is a vehicle for pornography. What happened over this period of time is that the generation that rose to arrived in their 20s were totally unprepared to deal with the opposite sex. I mean, I hate to say this, but Nick Fuentes is a classic example of this type of guy. He's radically ambivalent about the members of the opposite sex. He says, "I'm going to have white babies, but I don't like women. Well, that's pretty radically ambivalent. The Groypers go on the warpath whenever I say something like this. But you've got a fact of the matter is that you've got a constituency of people who are consistently incapable of relating to the opposite sex. Now, they're not totally blameless here. I mean, when you raise women to be what you see on these Marvel cartoon action series, of course they're going to be difficult to get along with. Of course, you're basically disrupting one of the fundamental pillars of civilization, which is male-female interaction, leading to marriage, leading to the creation of families, leading to the production of children, reproduction. And that's how society moves forward into the future. And it's been disrupted by all of the people who control consciousness in our culture. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, me either. And the thing is, we'll talk in a moment, I think, about the Moroccan family code renovations, which are like a much smaller, lower key, tamer version of this madness that's sweeping the United States in terms of gender relations. But first, the war on Iran news. I guess that's related too, though, because the liberals in Iran just passed this rescinding the WhatsApp ban. So now Facebook and WhatsApp get to determine what Iranians see. And of course, what they're going to do is they're going to whip up their handful of sort of paid gender radicals and stuff. The women will start ripping off their clothes in public and then crying out as they strike you when the people react. Wait a minute. It sounds like I'm already using anti-Semitic tropes without even meaning to.
Yeah, well, what one of the fundamental problems is the picture is right there. How do you deal with a cell phone? Let's take a step back. How do you deal with X? This is a colossal waste of time. You could waste the entire day scrolling. How do you deal with this? And that's a fundamental problem. We've wrecked an entire generation by allowing them unlimited access to their cell phones. They can't relate to real people in a flesh and blood situation. I hate to say this, but I saw a couple obviously out on a date at a restaurant. Guess what they're doing? What this couple is doing?
They're not holding hands. They're holding cell phones.
They are both holding cell phones. Who are they talking to? They're both engaged in their separate cell phones out on a date.
They're gonna put out a remake of that Beatles classic. I want to hold your phone. Mm-hmm. I want to hold your phone. Yep.
It's a serious problem. It's a serious problem. It really requires the best minds to come up with some type of solution. And it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem in Iran. It's absolutely going to be a problem.
It already is a problem in Iran, actually. But it's a problem everywhere. Well, here's the article from Al Jazeera, which I kindly translated for those of you who don't speak Arabic. Limada tarud al-shahri al-iraniyin murajiat al-aqida al-nuwiya li biladihim. Why do some Iranians oppose reviewing their country's nuclear doctrine? And Al Jazeera is telling us that despite the fact there's this huge upsurge in Iranians on social media saying we need nuclear weapons, those freaking Zionists are completely mistreating us. If there's ever been a country in history that ever could use nuclear weapons as a deterrent against lunatics, it's us. But Al Jazeera, which is not exactly pro-Iranian, being an American-occupied country, is trying to focus on people like Rouhani and these other liberal Iranians who are the same ones who just brought WhatsApp back. And they're the ones who don't want nuclear weapons. And they're saying, oh, that would just give those bad Zionists an excuse to attack us. Well, maybe you need the nuclear weapons so that the Zionists don't attack you.
Well, obviously, the news is there to generate conflict. And so it's there to divide and conquer. So why is this surprising?
Hey, okay, yeah, that's a good point. It's divide and conquer. It's so many levels going on. And the woke world is, of course, the place, one of the places where they divide and conquer is getting the woke extremists going and pissing off the normal people and starting a big backlash. Here's one of the woke stories this week. Well, there's good news here. The Ohio teacher who was fired for refusing to use transgender pronouns just won almost $500,000 settlement. So I guess that's a good sign.
Well, that was what was repudiated in the last election. If you want to use one word, it was woke. And it was like DEI, diversity, equality, and inclusion, which has now apparently been not going to be used as criterion for military advancement in the military, this type of thing. It was totally repudiated. But again, are we going to get to the heart of the problem here by having people like Hegseth come and thump his chest about we're going to revoke woke in the military? I don't think so. I think this is just superficial. It's just changing, distracting us from the real issue.
Probably so. Anyway, shout out to Vivian Garrity. She's apparently another Irish Catholic anti-woke warrior. And here we are in Morocco for the family code reforms. This is a similar kind of thing, but like I said, in a much lower key. These reforms involve things like inheritance, and they're basically tiptoeing around some Quranic rules in terms of family life, marriage, inheritance. They're going to make it very hard to be polygamous. Boy, I get to Morocco, and the first thing to do is change the law to make it hard to be polygamous. Go figure. Anyway, actually, my wife isn't big on polygamy either, so that's probably not an issue for us. In any case, it's a much saner discussion here than in the United States, where it's all like transgender this and gay couples adopting people that, and all this kind of craziness. Whereas here in Morocco, it's like, oh, do we sort of moderately adapt these ancient religious-based codes to the current reality? Do we do that moderately or do we do it slower? You know, so it's a much better discussion here. It's more comfortable.
I wasn't encouraged by what I read there. As
Yeah.
soon as you start talking about women's rights, you're working on destroying the family. You cannot talk about rights outside of the family or rights of women against men within the family. That's a recipe for destroying the family. We've been through this all in this country. Basically, the reforms that took place in the 70s were anti-family because the oligarchs want isolated individuals. They want children raised independently of the influence of their parents, which they always consider retrograde. So please don't talk about women's rights. If it's a family code and you're talking about women's rights, you're destroying the family. It's that simple.
You may be right. And one thing that people here have noticed is that the last time they reformed the family code in 2003, I think it was, that suddenly divorces jumped and went up and the rate of marriages went down. And now they're expecting the same thing to happen after this reform.
Absolutely. The divorce lawyers love for reforms like this. They get rich on it. If there's one thing I think you can contribute to is say, I've been there. Tell them that you came from the future. You just got out of your time machine. And if you want to wreck Morocco, if you don't want to wreck Morocco, listen to what I have to say. I've got lots, Americans have lots of experience about reform, family, and feminism.
You know, this might be a good topic for you to discuss when you come on your Morocco tour. So get start looking ahead to that.
Inshallah, we will discuss this.
Inshallah. All right. Well, hey, how about the woke Christmas carols? I mean, that's I hear Christmas carols here in Morocco periodically, but it seems like they're scattered about evenly throughout the year. They're not concentrated in the Christmas season. They play them in cafes sometimes, just out of the blue for no particular reason. So I do hear the Christmas carols here in Morocco sometimes and feel a little twinge of nostalgia. But I'm glad I'm not hearing the woke ones.
You really miss rocking around the Christmas tree, don't you? Don't you, Kevin? Is
Rock
that one
around
of
the Christmas
the
tree. Yeah,
rocking
right.
around the Christmas tree? There's a brilliant satire put out by a guy named Foundering, I think it's his name. I don't know what his real name is, but he says he's a brilliant composer. He composed songs on a regular basis, and this one is about how all of the Christmas carols were written by Jews. It just goes through the list. So I got into this once when I said Irving Berlin de-Christed Christmas by writing White Christmas. And of course, I was attacked as an anti-Semite. So my comeback was I was waiting for that. It's in Philip Roth's book, one of Philip Roth's books. He's the one who said that Irving Kristol de-Christed Christmas by White Christmas. But that's part of the enculturation, part of the identity theft that's going on in America, that basically stole Christmas. The Grinch who stole Christmas. It was
it was Grinchenstein. I knew it was Grinchenstein.
Right, I know. It was accompanied by Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Okay, well, the last story of the day is the name change over at Wikipedia. Elon Musk has offered a really huge endowment to rename Wikipedia after himself. And that's our final story of the day. I did write a full satire article about that. You can find that by way of truthjihad.com. Just click on the satire link. All right. Well, that's it for today's news stories. We're moving into 2025, and I look forward to covering the news, assuming there is any this year. And I'm afraid, unfortunately, there probably will be. So, hey, have a great, great week. A happy new year. God bless you. Best to your wife and family, and onward.
Thank you, Gavin. Always
okay.
A pleasure.
Likewise. Bye-bye.